Hi, everyone, and welcome. I'm Megan Kellett, the Assistant Site Editor for SearchDisasterRecovery.com. I'm here today with Pierre Dorian, Data Center Practice Director at Longview Systems, Inc., to talk about off-site disk backups for disaster recovery. Hi, Pierre.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Excellent, thank you.
Great. Pierre, can you explain the benefits of using off-site disk backups for disaster recovery? Why not just use tape?
Yeah, there are many, in fact. In most cases, disk backup for off-site will be faster. I guess there's no media mount delays, and there's no data seek time, which is typical of tapes, which typically takes a little longer. There's also no media handling, so by eliminating tape out of the picture, now we have the ability to start using replication technologies to send data across the wire instead of having to rely on physical tape movement, which obviously is always error-prone. And also, when you're talking about disks are considered random access devices, so there are no mount points. What I mean by that is when you're using a tape, you have to wait for the media to be available and also a tape drive to mount it in to be available before you can actually access the data, as where with disk being a random access device, once the application accesses the data, there can actually be multiple concurrent access streams to that data. Obviously, one of the big advantages, as I said before, is the ability to leverage replication, but also technology such as snapshots and block-level backups, where you're actually capturing only the portion of the data that's changed. And one thing to consider, obviously, is that it comes at a potentially a higher cost than using tape. So something to worth mentioning.
And can you outline the difference between synchronous and asynchronous replication?
Oh, yes. That's a question that comes up very frequently. So the ability to write data across from one device to another may sometimes be tracked by the application. What I mean by that is there's a time where the application is actually waiting for a piece of data to be written before resuming as it's sending data to disk. So synchronous is the ability to copy data from one place to another or to write it simultaneously without any kind of delays. So it actually counts on a return code from the receiving or the target, as we call it, to say data written before it resumes. Asynchronous is the ability to not depend on that. So in other words, data is not necessarily written simultaneously. Data is written to one device, and then it is buffered potentially to memory and written to the target device at a later time, which can vary, you know, from milliseconds to seconds to even minutes, depending on the cases. And typically, this is due to latency, or this is a latency issue. What I mean by that is between two locations, there's going to be a network connectivity of some sort, and the longer the distance, the more hops, if you will, you run into, especially when doing IP replication over an IP network, where there might be a delay, and the longer the distance, the more delays or the more hops you may have, which creates what we call latency. So it's not a bandwidth question, but it is really a latency, so a delay in communicating information. For example, a good example of that is when you're trying to look at the properties of a file on the file server. Although you're not transferring a lot of data, just the properties, there's a delay in getting that information to you, and that's an example of latency. So latency forces you to move to asynchronous, which means not simultaneous copy, as where a close distance allows you to go synchronous. What we see a lot as a compensation measure is companies implementing a local synchronous replication. So you obtain your backup copy immediately, and then a remote, you create with that local copy, you create a remote copy, which may be at this point asynchronous.
And what is WAN optimization and how does it work?
So when optimization is a, it eliminates redundant transmissions of data, and it will stage it to local caches, and it compresses the data. So let me talk about these three elements here. There's a deduplication element that eliminates the transfer of redundant data across the WAN. What it does is once it identified an identical byte sequence, something that it already has, it will just send a reference to it instead of sending the entire byte sequence, which obviously allows you to send a lot less data across the wire, yet you're keeping the transmission coherent. And the compression aspect of it will look for data patterns that can be represented more efficiently. So it's your typical compression. So we're now or traditional compression where we're combining here deduplication and compression. And of course, it also leverages caching in proxies. So what it does is it relies on human behavior, if you will, when you can start predicting the type of data that's accessed frequently by applications or users. It does a caching kind of portion, so where data is not necessarily sent, it's just using data that's been seen or used previously. So what essentially what it does is it allows you to send a lot more information across the WAN without necessarily needing a lot of bandwidth, just by optimizing what you are sending. As I said before, you're removing data, redundant data segments, which can allow you, especially it works at the byte level, so it can allow you to get very granular as to what is being sent repeatedly, and instead of sending it, you're just sending pointers.
Okay, so how does deduplication play a part in using disk backup for disaster recovery?
Well, you see, deduplication is data deduplication is very similar to the previous example, WAN optimization that we talked about. It actually does that at the disk level, where it recognizes data or identical data segments, and again creates references and pointers. So same kind of idea where it eliminates, if it recognizes a block or sequence of bytes, it will recognize that it already has that, and it will write to disk a much smaller pointer instead of the entire data segment. That's a good replacement for tape media without spending a fortune on disk. So if you're thinking of using disk as a backup target instead of tape, without necessarily wanting to buy as much disk as you have data multiplied by the number of versions you want to keep, this is a good idea because it allows you to really get into data reduction. And in many cases, data deduplication solutions can be integrated transparently with backup solutions. So they can be presented either as a network share or a virtual tape library, virtual tape device. So the backup application, your traditional or typical backup applications, recognize it as a tape. The one thing that you have to watch out for with data deduplication is it's not very well suited for short-term retention backups because the efficiency of data deduplication relies on history. So the more frequently it recognizes an identical byte sequence, the more data reduction you get. So we can take, for example, if you have 20 times the same Word document that's been backed up with only minor changes, you can imagine there's a large portion of that Word document that never changes. So eventually, instead of having 20 times that file, we only have the one time the unique byte sequences, and then the rest is just changes. So we're really reducing. We can get into scenarios where we're reducing data storage 15 to 1 or 20 to 1, which is significant. And then you can also double that. A lot of deduplication technologies are also replication capable. So now you're actually replicating deduplicated data, if you will. So you're reducing your network bandwidth requirements by copying or replicating a reduced data set across the network. So that combined also, by the way, you can combine data deduplication and the replication capability with WAN optimization, where now you're really combining two deduplication technologies, if you will, to seriously, significantly reduce your data stream between two locations. So very good integration from a DR perspective when you can start recovering, well, first of all, replicating a reduced data set to an offsite location, but also recovering it in the same fashion.
So what about CDP? Who should consider that?
So CDP is kind of a cross. Some people tend to confuse it with mirroring or your traditional data replication. And this is where we need to make the distinction. The continuous data protection is what CDP stands for. And what it does beyond your, if you're looking at your traditional backup, your tape backup, it's really a point-in-time copy. Any kind of traditional backup will do a point-in-time, whether it's to disk or tape. At the time the backup was taken, this is what the data looked like. At the other extreme, we're talking about data mirroring. Well, data mirroring is a constant copy of all the changes that are made to the data. The problem with that is if I corrupt my original copy, well, I'm replicating the corrupted change across. This is where CDP offers a distinction as much as it does a continuous data protection. In other words, it captures every little bit of information that's being changed. It also allows me to create certain recovery points as opposed to your traditional backup where you only have this one recovery point. So in other words, it gives me the ability to roll back certain changes to the point where the data was valid in the example of corruption as we used before. So who should really use this? These technologies are really meant for people who need continuous protection, as the name implies, but also the ability to recover at a certain point in time. So it is really a question of how your recovery point objectives are defined. If you have very stringent requirements to have the ability to roll back in a granular fashion, this is really the way to go. CDP is the way to go over, obviously, mirroring. Because mirroring, as I said earlier, has its limitations in the sense that it only copies blindly, if you will, without knowing whether the data is at the source is usable or not.
Okay, thank you, Pierre, for that information.
Well, it's my pleasure, as always.
Okay, so for more information on disk backups for disaster recovery, you can visit searchdisasterrecovery.com.